This is Keeping It Real, Talk You Can Feel. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Just as you, as it takes 2 eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share. Hey, 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 DJ Unspoken here on a nice Wednesday afternoon on Dominican campus. You are listening to Penguin Radio on my show, Keeping It Real, Talk You Can Feel. Today's topic is Black Lives Matter, racism, as a whole, Donald Trump, and as always, real words of the day to close. A quick recap of last week's show, Student Athletes, Life After the Game. Student athletes transitioning to the real world when their collegiate days end. Only 2% ever go to pro, while the 98% have to make some hard and quick adjustments. Many have had success transitioning to the corporate world, and many have given credit to their athletic years, gaining skills such as leadership, teamwork, working under pressure, understanding, and time management. As you know, I have a new segment called Real Feel, and I want to go ahead and get into that. So let's start. So, for my Real Feel segment, you know, my last show was on Wednesday, and I had to leave, then I'm a show on Friday to go see my family and brother in Tennessee. It was a 12-hour drive to get there. Even though the drive was long, I was happy to be around my family. Now, Neyland Stadium, home to the Tennessee Vols, has the craziest and most enthusiastic fans, and the atmosphere is one you must experience for yourself. The Vols were down, you know, pretty much the first half of the game, 24-3. But rallied back to win and got the victory this past Saturday over Georgia. My brother Chris played exceptionally well, so all in all, it was a great trip. Moving on to my next Real Feel. So in one of my classes, I had to debate about reparations for African Americans. I won my debate even though I was on the side against giving reparations to the Black community. I myself, being part of that community, feel as if some sort of reparation be given, if not in the form of money, programs that help unify the community as a whole. That's just how I feel about the whole thing in general. Another thing that's been really getting, I really feel about, is the weather here. It's been somewhat crazy and bipolar, being that it's been blazing like the gates of HE double hockey sticks have been open. So for my real ones out here in California, stay cool, stay hydrated, and keep a fan nearby. Please don't pass out on my watch. Last but not least, here on Dominican Cabin tonight, 11 p.m. Midnight Mayhem, a time where performance skits are put on by all the sports teams here. It's the day before official practice begins for basketball season. This is going to be a night you don't want to miss, as I feel my team will win, and yes, I am participating. So come out and support Dominican sports teams. Doors open at 10:30. So that has been my Real Feel, and I thank you for listening. So we're going to dive into our topic. Before we dive into our topic, you have been listening to me, DJ Unspoken, here on radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio, and when we come back from our first break, we'll be diving into the realest topic yet, so stay tuned.
Stand by me. Stand by me. I walked through a puddle of water when I seen the shadow of a broken hearted girl. Picture this walking through the altar for better or for worse.
Oh, don't you stand
by me.
Oh, my darling,
stand by me.
Cause we gon' make a movie, a movie, and it's gon' be a 3D, a 3D. We gon' make a movie, a movie, and it's gon' be a 3D, 3D. Why don't you stand?
can't pop no more. But you still got me sweating. What happened to that feeling? I'll never get back. I ain't take no shots, but you still got me high. What happened to that feeling? I wish you wouldn't stop.
We were about to be together. We were about to be together.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand by me.
Oh, my darling.
Stand by me. Cause we gon' make a movie. A movie, and it's gon' be 3D. A 3D. We gon' make a movie. A movie, and it's gon' be 3D. 3D.
We are back on Penguin Radio. I'm DJ Unspoken. This is Keeping It Real, Talking Kefil. Let's get real. So Black Lives Matter is a topic that I want to talk about since my first show. Now being my fourth show, I feel like it's about time that I get the opportunity to do so. So Black Lives Matter is an activist movement in the United States that began in the wake of the July 2013 acquittal of George Zimmerman in Florida shooting death of African-American teen Trayvon Martin. The Black Lives Matter movement campaign against police brutality in the United States against African Americans. The group received fresh impetus from the 2014 deaths of two unarmed African Americans, teenager Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and 43-year-old Eric Garner in New York City. In both cases, the grand jury did not indict the officers and no charges were brought. Several unarmed African Americans who died at the hands of law enforcement have had their deaths protested by the movement, including Tamir Rice, Eric Harrison, Walter Scott, and Freddie Gray, whose death sparked the 2015 Baltimore protests. Several media organizations have referred to it as a new civil rights movement. However, several conservative pundits have labeled the movement a hate group. The movement was co-founded by three black activists, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, Opil Tamidi. The overall Black Lives Matter movement is a decentralizing network. It has no formal hierarchy or structure. The movement reached national awareness with the protests and unrest in Ferguson in August 2014, although Garza, Cullors, and Tamidi were not initially involved in these events. The movement began as a hashtag. When I first officially found out about it, it was a hashtag when I first saw it. Hashtag Black Lives Matter on Twitter after George Zimmerman's 2013 acquittal for the shooting death of Trayvon Martin, as I stated before. Gaining momentum after the shooting of Michael Brown and the shooting of John Crawford III and the death of Edgar Gardner, all in 2014. Since then, currently there are 23 Black Lives Matter chapters in the U.S., Canada, and Ghana. The organization states that Black Lives Matter is a unique contribution that goes beyond extrajudicial killings of black people by police and vigilantes. And the Black Lives Matter affirms the lives of black queers, trans folks, disabled folks, black undocumented folks, folks with records, women and all black lives among the gender spectrum. Founders have responded to the criticism of the movement, exclusively saying, hashtag Black Lives Matter does not mean your life is important. It means that black lives, which are seen without value within the white supremacy, are important to your liberation. Since 1999, 76 unarmed black men and women have been killed by police or while in police custody. Since 2012, after Trayvon Martin's death, more than 37 unarmed black lives have been taken, ranging from Oscar Grant, Eric Garner, Sandra Bland. Hashtag been made, like, say her name for Sandra Bland, I Can't Breathe for Eric Garner, and the movement for wearing hoodies for Trayvon Martin. All in all, my opinion of Black Lives Matter is beyond important. Like, me being a part of that community, I feel like it is a new civil rights movement, and I feel like people should take acknowledgement for it because all the lives that have been taken so far have been African-American young men and young women. And us having this group, because I mean there's different groups. I mean there's hate groups like the KKK, and you know you have the Aryan Brotherhood. This group I see as being more positive, not just me having a biased opinion about it because I am part of that community, but because it shows progress in the Black community as a whole. And moving forward to that, the Million Man March. This year's Million Man March transcended the Nation of Islam's involvement. In Washington, Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, took the stage at the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March on Saturday. There was an air of curiosity as to how the 82-year-old minister would address a new generation of activists, a good many of whom had missed out on the original 1995 march by virtue of being too young or not yet existing at all, which I didn't exist. I did exist. I was born. I was about probably about, what, four? No. Yeah. Four? No. Five? Six? I can't count. Farrakhan is a figure, to say the least. He's been criticized for promoting sexist, homophobic, and transphobic views, and as far from the only Black male activist who has been accused of marginalizing women and queers and trans people of color, and not all those activists are in their 80s. Either. For some, it's impossible to separate Million Man March from their problems. To others, the march is bigger than that. I've come to join the congregation in this gathering. I believe there's a great spirit. The 20th anniversary is not to be overlooked. Christopher Gillespie, a student at Michigan State University, told Huffington Post, "The first gathering was something that I couldn't attend because I was just born. But this time I want to be a part of this movement and be able to see where it takes our nation." The theme for this year's march was Justice or Else. And the event was meant as a response to Black problems that disproportionalized facing young Black Americans, such as police violence and economical equality, The Nation of Islam and other activists addressed this through social media. 50 years ago, we were marching on Selma, and there's no change. We want justice. We want accountability. Cleo Jeffries, a 22-year-old participant in the march, told HuffPost, "This is our generation. This is our movement. This is not our moms or our granddaddies." Jeffries speaking to the general divide that's been discussed a lot with the rise of Black Lives Matter movement, as I talked about previously. Some activists, many of them alumni of the civil rights effort of the 1950s and 60s, believe that politically involved Black Americans have an obligation to be polite and civil at all times, even in the face of violence. Others disagree, saying that with Black Americans getting brutalized and killed every day, often by people who then face no consequences, good manners aren't such a high priority. This is a feeling commonly among younger activists and people in the Black Lives Matter community. But Farrakhan's infamous speech for preaching the former point of view. Sometimes they feel like they know everything, so it's kind of disrespectful in some type of way. But you know, this is our movie, Jeff said. We're getting killed. 12-year-old Tamara Rice was killed. 7-year-old Ayanna Jones was killed for sleeping. This is our generation. This is our movement. This is us. Even to older female activists, the generation shift is clear. Black men aren't the central focus of marching anymore. We talked about Justice or Else. It's not just impacting men, it's impacting our entire country. Zafi Bryant, who attended both the 1995 and 2015 marches, told HuffPost, "I think a lot of these issues that we're dealing with, whether it be police brutality or whether it be injustice, whether it be racial profiling, those things impact our community. And if you don't all stand for it, then we're all going to have to be accountable for what's going to happen if we're not standing up for our rights." Kim Moon, another attendee, shared a story with HuffPost about her 15-year-old grandson in Atlanta, who was walking to the store with a friend when Moon said he was assaulted by a police officer. He was pinned to the ground by police because a week before somebody was robbed in the store's parking lot, Moon said, and the cop just instantly made him get on the ground. According to Moon, the officer then asked the two teenagers where they were heading and where they came from. He said, "Our grandson complied. After that happened to them, I knew I had to come because I knew I wanted to be a part of this history," Moon said. "I wanted to, you know, demand this justice that we all so very desperately need." Brian said the biggest thing to take from this year's march, and the last one, is the love among Black people fighting for common cause. "It's a spirit. It's a sense of community," she said. Those same village values that we had years ago, I felt that. You know, you feel the spirit of it, and it's a wonderful feeling to come here. When you see the media, who is always negatively portraying our people, when you come into this space, it's where it's just so positive. It's a positive environment. Personally, I feel like everything I read in this article is pretty much true. Things have happened to people. I know back home, there's been incidents of police brutally, like, overdoing things. They slammed one girl down at a pool party. Another person got mazed that was mentally ill, got mazed by the police because she couldn't talk. And they just assumed that, you know, she had some kind of weapon on her and then, you know, didn't give her a chance to do anything, just started spraying her and mace and slammed her on the ground. And I feel as if we are African Americans, how they're portrayed in the media is true. It's definitely wrong, due to the simple fact that when one of my people die, talking about African Americans, that we always get a mugshot put up. If they have a record, there's always a mugshot put up. And then for the officer who gets involved in the case, always gets their police picture put up. Now, what if they have a criminal record? Why can't we put the mugshot of the police officer up and put a nice picture of the African-American whose life has been taken away? Don't portray us negatively just because we have some pictures that don't represent us well. Put a nice picture up there of us. Respect us, because that person has passed away. Why would you put a negative picture about them up on the media, first of all? As I feel that's totally disrespectful in all aspects of the media, of the news in general. And also, I have never attended the Million Man March. I would have gladly been, if I was able to, I would have gladly been there right along with the other people of my black community. And I know some celebrities showed up, like T.Y. Dolla $ign, Dave Chappelle. And they say, if you're not using your fame for a good reason, why are you famous in the first place? So just trying to bring the black community together as a whole is absolutely amazing. And I'm glad to be a part of Black Lives Matter. Not saying that all lives don't matter, but at this point in time, in this day and age, it's black lives that are being taken. So we're going to head into our second break. It's been real so far, so stay tuned. When we come back, we'll be talking about a controversial topic, being racism. So stay tuned.
Boys and girls want to hear a true story. Saturday night was at this real wild party. They had the liquor overflowing the cup. About 5-6 strippers trying to work for a buck. Then I took one girl outside with me. Her name was Lonnie. She went to junior high with me. I said, why you up in there dancing for cash? I guess a whole lot's changed since I seen you last. She said,
what would you do if someone's at home crying all alone on the bedroom floor? Cause he's hungry and the only way to feed him is to sleep with a man.
Living all crazy. Then she looked me right square in the eye and said, every day I wake up hoping to die. She said, it's got I know about pain, cuz me and my sister ran away so my daddy couldn't rape us. Before I was a teenager, I done been through more. It's this you can't even relate to.
What would you do if the someone's at home crying all alone on the bedroom floor? Whoa. Cause he's hungry and the only way to feed him is to sleep with a man.
Cause I wouldn't want my baby to go through what I went through.
Come on, what would you do? What would you
get up on my feet and stop making tired excuses?
What would you do? Would you
girl,
do?
I know if my mother can do it, baby, you can do it.
What would you do if the sun was at home?
Sleep with a man for a little bit of money and his daddy's gone. Somewhere I rip rock now, in and out of lockdown. I ain't got a job now. So for you, this is just a good time. But for me, this is what I call life. Come on.
What would you do if the sun was at home? Crying all alone on the bedroom floor cause he's hungry.
Hey, we are back on Penguin Radio, the official radio station on Dominican University of California campus. I'm DJ Unspoken. Let's get back to the show. So the next topic I'm talking about is racism. And as I said in my debate, I was talking about reparations for African Americans through, you know, years of slavery and things of that nature. Well, as I feel, racism still exists in this day and age, and I feel as if a nation as a whole is still suffering from the past mistakes that America has made. As I stated before in one of my debates, I was talking about slavery and getting reparations for that, et cetera, et cetera. Obama speaks about racism and gun violence in America about 3 months ago. He spoke about this. President Obama picks the perfect time to address the elephant in the room, racism. Just a few days after the church massacre in North Carolina, President Obama sat down with Mark Mern and gave his two cents about race in the U.S. He even went as far as using the N-word during his explanation. He goes to say, the legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, and discrimination in amongst every institution of our lives, you know, the cast a long shadow, and that's still a part of our DNA that's passed on. We're not cured of it, Obama said, and it's not just a matter of not being polite to say the N-word in public. That's not the measure of whether racism still exists or not. It's not just a matter of overt discrimination. Societies don't overnight completely erase everything that happened 200, 300 years prior, Obama said. He further addresses the Charleston shooting, saying that the government must learn from these shootings and move forward with gun control reform. No other advanced nation on earth tolerates multiple shootings on a regular basis and considers it normal. It's not enough just to feel bad, Obama added. There are actions that could be taken to make events like this less likely. And one of those actions would be enhance some basic common sense gun safety laws. But by the way, the majority of gun owners support. Obama posed the question asking, is there a way to accommodate the legitimate set of traditions with some common sense stuff that prevents a 21-year-old who is angry about something, confused about something, or is racist, or is, you know, deranged from going into a gun store and suddenly is packing and can do enormous harm, he adds. That is not just something that we could have ever fully come to terms with. Unfortunately, he retired his belief that Congress will not be able to act anytime soon. The grip of the NRA on Congress is extremely strong. I don't foresee any legislative action being taken in Congress, and I don't foresee any real action being taken until American public feels a sufficient sense of urgency and they can say to themselves, this is not normal. This is not something that we can change, and we're going to change it, he said. And if you don't have the kind of public voter pressure, that's not going to change from the inside. How I feel about racism, as I stated before, in my personal opinion, racism still exists in this day and age, and I feel like America as a whole is still going off of slavery in a sense, because, I mean, as I talked about in my debate, reparations for African Americans, in a sense, we African Americans were totally just, I can't think of the word right now, but were just treated wrong, weren't even treated as humans, and it's like, it's always been about, when you think of the word America, you think white people or Caucasians. You don't think African Americans. You don't think Native Americans. You don't think Latino Americans. Because as America, when you hear the word America, you think white. And everything after that is just hyphenated. Because we people who have been taken from their motherland to come here had their whole culture turn into what the Caucasian society and back in that time wanted it to be. And I feel as people shouldn't judge, as Martin Luther King stated, that you shouldn't judge people by the color of your skin. You should judge them by the content of the character. Skin color shouldn't have to do anything, because, and whoever you believe, we're all one family, and it doesn't matter. We're all one people, and America's a melting pot, and rather than just burn in it, we should try to blend together and become more unified as a nation as a whole, because there's no other nation that would repeatedly keep going through shootings and shootings and nothing happens. Or when they get sent to court, that, oh, they have a mental problem or a mental issue, or they've been treated wrong their whole life. It's always some excuse. It's never been any punishment put on people, and it's always delayed. Like I talked about Black Lives Matter, many of those officers who were involved in those shootings really never got indicted, and they just got a slap on the wrist, or got fired, or they got their pay taken away, and they got vacation or whatever, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like that's not helping us at all, because it's just further bringing segregation. And I know, as I said before, I'm me being a part of Black Lives Matter or a group organization, I feel as if it kind of does segregate us, because people, African Americans, tend to go towards the Black Lives Matter. As I said before, I'm not saying that all lives don't matter, but at this time, at this point, I'm specifically talking about Black lives because of everything that's going on in the African community with Caucasian police officers gunning young African American men and women down. I mean, I don't know what else to say about racism as all, because I feel like, as my personal opinion, I feel like I would get upset about it just in general. So we're going to head into our second break. You have been listening to me, DJ Unspoken, on radio.dominican.edu. When we come back, I will be talking about Donald Trump. So stay tuned.
All's my life I has to fight. All's my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, I'm f***ed up, homie, you f***ed up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright. And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. But pretty Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a f***ing gangsta in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my vices all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright. You can live at the mall. I can see the evil. I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero. Thinking of my partner. Put the candy painting on a Rico. Digging in my pocket. And a profit big enough to feed you. Every day my logic. Get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. Ah! I don't talk about it. Be about it. Every day a sequel. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog. My dog, that's all. Pick back and chat. I trap the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks. Arrest assured. My rights, my wrongs. I write till I'm right with God. When you know. We've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Hey, we are back, and this has been Pinger Radio, radio.dominican.edu. So I told you I was going to talk about Donald Trump. So let's get into it. Donald Trump is a candidate for presidency who, at the beginning of his campaign, had a huge falling, and which has dwindled down due to some comments made by Trump. Comments ranging from what he said about the Mexicans going to say that they are rapists, drug dealers, and killers. He stated in one of his campaign's launch speeches. It brought about an outroar in the Latino community, and even more so, two followers of Trump went out of their way to beat up a homeless Latino man back in early August. And I want to talk about that for a second. When these two followers of Trump, you know, they've been listening to him, they're following him, they're probably going to end up voting for him if they get out of jail, because they are in jail now. However, at this time when they were in jail, they went out of their way, they were out walking or whatever, and they saw this homeless man, and he happened to be Latino. And they take the initiative to hit him on their head with a metal pipe, beat him, kick him, spit on him, et cetera, et cetera. And the police finally came, and they got handcuffed, put in the police car, and taken to the police station. When they get there, they're saying, oh, I did this because of what Trump said about them, because I believe everything Trump says, yada, yada, yada. And they take it even a step further, because the police were like, you know, you can't do that. Stating their own personal opinions, the men take it a step further and start urinating in the holding cell, and nothing happened to him. Nothing at all happened to him. Now, if that was an African American, I don't even think they would have made it that far in general, even to the police station. I don't even think they would have made it to the police car, in my opinion, with everything that's going on, all the shootings that's going on. I don't think they would have made it, period. And if they didn't make it to the holding cell, their lives probably would have ended there if they started urinating or if anything of that nature. And I just was just really upset about that when I read about that, because as I stated previously before we took our second break, racism, that's just part of racism, is just how can people of fair skin, being Caucasian, have more privileges than African Americans and have more rights and can do anything they want with no punishment. Also, Donald Trump went on to say that they were just being passionate, and which angered more than just the Latino community. It angered the citizens and society as a whole. Donald Trump even took it a step further when he attacked the Black Lives Matter movement, calling it trouble. As I talked about earlier, me being part of that movement, and I gave my personal opinion and also read an article from the Shade Room about Black Lives Matter. Donald Trump went on to say that the group is trouble and they're looking for trouble, and I can't believe that we're letting them get away with it. Now, you know, Donald Trump is known for causing chaos with just a few words, and he has ruffled the feathers of people, the followers of Black Lives Matter. And I think it was just the wrong crowd to pick on this time, in this time, excuse me, in this time, because of everything that's going on, we're still trying to get over the deaths of young African-Americans that have been gunned down by policemen. And yes, these were his exact words, and I'll repeat it again. I think they're trouble. I think they're looking for trouble, he told Bill O'Reilly. I've looked at a couple of people that were interviewed from the group. I saw them with hate coming down the street last week and talking about cops and police and what should be done to them, and that was not good. I think it's a disgrace that we're getting away with it. The fact is that all lives matter. That includes Black, that includes white, and that includes everybody else. Now, hold on. I'm confused as to fact, because this is the same man that threatened the Black Lives Matter movement protesters, protesters, that he would bring some kind of harm, or not kind of harm, but there would be some kind of form of action taken if they try to disrupt any of his events. Not stopping at the movement as a whole, he then felt it was justifiable to criticize Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders for catering to the Black Lives Matter activists. Hashtag Black Lives Matter movement being labeled as trouble, looking for trouble, sounds just as foolish as Donald Trump running for president. Now, I got this article off of Shade Room, and my personal opinion, I feel the same way. Donald Trump as president is not a good idea, being so that everything he said, and I feel like he will wipe out the minorities as a whole, African-Americans, Asian-Americans, Mexican-Americans, Native Americans in general, because he's said so many wrong and racist things about people of color in general. And I feel as if you're not part of the fair skin group, that your life doesn't matter. And when he said that all lives matter, it's like going to an AIDS walk or something saying that all diseases matter. Yes, all diseases matter. However, at this point, we're talking about, it's about AIDS, and it's just saying like all lives do matter, but at this point in time we're talking about Black lives, as everything that America has done to people of color in general, going from the Native Americans to the Trail of Tears and how they were paid to given reparations and sort, and nobody still talks about that. And you see the fact that people are starting to call them Native Americans when they were formerly known as Indians is also an issue that I don't understand. And with the Holocaust, I know that people who were affected by the Holocaust have gotten reparations, but nobody really talks about that until it's brought up in history class, or you have to read a book about it in English. And I feel like slavery, and I talked about the debate, slavery, in a sense, if we were to get paid, I feel like it would just be swept under the rug along with, you know, the Native Americans and the Holocaust survivors. And I feel like as if when Donald Trump says that all lives matter, this is true, but what is the negative comments he's made about people of color, I just don't get. And I also want you to play a clip of the 10 of the stupidest things that Donald Trump has said, and I got this video from CNN. So let's take a listen.
I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that. Obama is going to be out playing golf. He might even be on one of my courses. I would invite him. I actually would say, I have the best courses in the world. So I'd say, you know what? If he wants to see, I have one right next to the White House. right on the Potomac. If he'd like to play, that's fine. In fact, I'd love him to leave early and play. That would be a very good thing. Hey, I'm not saying they're stupid. I like China. I just sold an apartment for $15 million to somebody from China. Am I supposed to dislike him? Our president doesn't have a clue. He's a bad negotiator. He's the one that did Bergdahl. We get a no-good trader, and they get the five people that they wanted for years, and those people are now back on the battlefield trying to kill us. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting. And it only makes common sense. It only makes common sense. They're sending us not the right people. It's coming from more than Mexico. It's coming from all over South and Latin America, and it's coming probably from the Middle East. But we don't know, because we have no protection. Islamic terrorism is eating up large portions of the Middle East. They become rich. I'm in competition with them. They just built a hotel in Syria. Can you believe this? They built a hotel. We have losers. We have losers. We have people that don't have it. We have people that are morally corrupt. We have people that are selling this country down the drain. I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second. I have a total net worth, and now with the increase, it'll be well over $10 billion. But here, a total net worth of $8 billion. Net worth, not assets, not liability, a net worth. I'm not doing that to brag, because you know what? I don't have to brag. I don't have to, believe it or not. I think I am a nice person. People that know me like me.
So there was a clip of Donald Trump and the 10 of the dumbest things he's ever said, which is unbelievable. I'm actually looking at an article right now that talks about all the racist comments that got Donald Trump fired from NBC. He goes to say that Donald Trump is a jack-A, but at least he's a jack-A without a TV show. NBC fired Trump, who had already given up his role, at least temporarily, on The Celebrity Apprentice in order to pursue a presidential run, from network from inflammatory and racist comments he's made about immigrants. At NBC, respect and dignity for all people are cornerstones of value, the company said in a statement on Monday. Due to this recent derogatory statement by Donald Trump regarding immigrants, NBC is ending its business relationship with Mr. Trump. Last week, Univision decided to end its relationship with Trump by dropping his Miss USA and Miss Universe pageant, and now NBC has followed suit. The moves come after a change.org petition against NBC to get rid of Trump, garnering more than 200,000 signatures. Trump has said that he would sue Univision and has now seemingly threatened to sue NBC, saying that their contracts violate closure of Miss Universe and Miss USA will be determined in court. While NBC has made it clear that Trump would not be returning to Celebrity Apprentice, which at least seems like a possible prior to Monday's announcement, they did not cancel the show. Trump reportedly owned a stake in the franchise, which never said it would be continuing to license through Mark Burnett's United Artists Media Group. As for comments that landed Trump in hot water, he basically said that a large percentage of immigrants are rapists, murderers, and other criminals. He repeated the remarks on a number of times and stood by them again on Monday. Here's the first of his comments when Trump announced his run for presidency. The U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problems. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending us the best. They're not sending people that have lots of problems. They're sending people that have lots of problems. They're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're bringing rapists, and some assume are good people. When Trump was asked to explain those comments over the weekend by CNN Jake Tapper, he basically recanted his whole stance on it. I like Mexico. I love the Mexican people. I do mess with Mexican people. But you have people coming through the border that are from all over, and they're bad. They're really bad, he said. You have people coming in, and I'm not just saying Mexicans. I'm talking about people that are all from all over that are killers, rapists, and they're coming to this country. DJ Honey just walked into the studio and she's joining me real quick. Do you have any comments about Donald Trump's racist remarks?
Well, me being a Hispanic myself, or Latina, whichever way you would want to put it, Donald Trump is definitely an interesting person. He is very wealthy. He is very powerful. And we all know this. But I think he takes his stance and everything to the highest limit possible. what he said in terms of Mexicans being rapists and drug dealers and stuff, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's true. A lot of people do have extracurricular activities that they do partake in, but it's not just Hispanics, it's not just Mexicans, it's not just any particular race. It's people from wherever they come from, and that's not, I don't think it was good for him to just generalize it to Mexicans. But being that he was in America, and because we do have the highest population of Mexicans in California, I think that's where he was coming from. But I do think that his ignorance has definitely brought him to a stance in the elections, and it's not going to get him very far.
And I know we you were on my show a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I think, I don't know if I asked you, would you rather have Donald Trump or Kanye West as president?
Oh, wow. You didn't ask me this, and I don't think I would have either of them. I mean, if I had to choose, that's very difficult. Oh, my goodness. I think I would choose Trump.
Ooh.
And just because I don't know much about Kanye, and then plus he, at least if he is running, I haven't heard any of his speeches or anything. Trump is powerful, like I said, so I think he could do some good, even though he might be racist or whatever you want to call him. He might do some good. So you give me a rough choice there.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just based on your opinion. But before you walked in, I had talked about Black Lives Matter and the movement and the Million Man March. Do you have any takes on Black Lives Matter?
I kind of do. I kind of had a conversation with my family about this, actually. And my mom was actually telling me, you know, why is it Black Lives Matter? Isn't it all lives matter? And I said, yes, this is true, but you have to also see what is happening. And racism, I actually talked to about this the other day with my club, and racism is still alive, whether or not it's between certain races or all races, racism is still alive. And in my opinion, it's going to be alive for years to come, unfortunately. And that's an unfortunate, you know, conflict that we have going on. But Black Lives Matter is because of everything that's been going on with people in the African-American community. I mean, you look at it and you see, you know, killings of, you know, cops versus, you know, young kids, teens, things that, you know, they're not even doing wrong. If you think Trayvon Martin, you know, the whole controversy that happened with that, he was walking home, and I don't know, it's really sad. And then the Million Man March, they were saying that it wasn't getting a lot of coverage, which it wasn't, but you also have to, I don't want to necessarily say you can't blame just media. You have to kind of blame yourselves as well, because if there was 20 million people, if you tweet it, you don't see as many tweets as you wish, you know, people, I mean, if I was there, I'd be tweeting, Instagramming, everything, you know, to get that out there. So it's partially media's fault and partially, you know, the partaker's fault.
Also, I know I was in one of my mental meetings with my team, and the mental coach there said that everybody has a little racism in them. Do you think that's true?
To some extent. I wouldn't say racism. Racism to me comes from hate. It comes from hate, and I wouldn't say that necessarily people have racism in it. I would say that people say racial remarks, whether they're trying to be funny, whether they're mad for whatever reason. But to me, racism comes from hate. People do make fun of other races. People make fun of themselves in their own race. It's just, I wouldn't say that's racism. I would say that that's stereotyping.
But isn't, when people make stereotypical comments, isn't that being kind of racist when you make stereotypical comments about people?
I mean, yeah, to a certain degree. It depends on the comment made. It is racism to an extent. To me, there's racism that, you know, you're making a joke or you're making whatever, which isn't, I'm not saying that it's right, but there's a difference between being funny or socially funny, depending on, you know, the context of the joke, and there's a difference between actually saying someone out of hate.
So do you feel the context of the joke?
It's not okay. I wouldn't say that it was okay. No, because people joke around with me that in my race, I joke around, you know, within my own race too. Mm-hmm. And it's not okay, but people do it.
And I feel like it's true. Go ahead.
I have a question. Do you do it?
Do I do it?
Joke around?
Yeah, I do it. And I'm trying to, like, not do it as much. And mm-hmm. I do have... I still do use the N-word mm-hmm. quite a lot, but I don't... I call it people in my own race, and I feel like that's okay because we have that relationship with everything we've been through. I can't call people outside of my race the N-word because they haven't been through what I've been through. Their culture hasn't been what I've been through, in a sense, like with slavery and such. And I know that Native Americans have the Trail of Tears, and whatever they call each other and their group, I feel like that's okay because I haven't been through what they've been through. So I couldn't go and use that term. And I know there was a discussion about the N-word being used and should it stop being used and should white people be allowed to say it. And I feel like, no, you shouldn't.
We had a discussion about this in my group the other day too, and we brought this up, and we asked, or the question was brought upon by one of the group members, what does it mean to you when you say it, when you call it to other people in your race? What does that word mean to you? Is it like
it could mean brother, it can mean sister. It just depends on the context of the sentence that you're using. If I be like, what's up my N-word, and I'm talking to somebody, I feel like that's just how we're sharing a familyhood there, like a family moment there.
So would you consider, it was brought up, this is why I'm asking, and it was just interesting to me, that why it's okay for people inside of your own race to say it, but not okay for people outside of your race to say it? Isn't that discrimination?
I don't feel like discrimination because they don't, like I said before, they haven't been through what I've been through. Or now I would say I particularly have not been through slavery, but my ancestors have, and I don't feel like their culture understands that. Mm-hmm. And I know that Caucasian people gave us that word, and mm-hmm. we African Americans in this day and age have turned it into something else, have turned it from a negative to a positive, in a sense. And I mean, I don't say, you know, the N-word, I'd be like Negro or something like that, which I mean, I think that's the correct term to say.
So I have a question. Sorry, so many questions. Do you think it's become social or even more socially acceptable within like hip hop culture? And I mean, you see people who are not of, you know, the African American descent or race who are using it in hip hop culture. Do you think it's okay for them to be using it because they are in, you know, hip hop or rap or anything like that?
I feel like the only person that I know that's not part of the culture is Eminem. But mm-hmm. I mean, look at his background. I mean, I don't think Tiger Woods would say it from where he was raised. Tiger Woods is also in my discussion with my mentor coach. Tiger Woods was raised very predominantly white, you know, even though he's biracial. Mm-hmm. And Eminem, he's had a rough background, which is could be like associated with what African Americans are going through, because, you know, we do have to work two times as hard as our white counterpart to get half of what they have. Mm-hmm. We do have to do a lot of things just because of the color of our skin. So that's only rap artist I know that really uses the N-word to a certain extent in his raps. And I feel like that's okay for him, being that, look at his background. Look at everything he's been through in his life, from like his mom being, you know, on drugs and then prostituting, being living like in a shed. And I feel like that, as like many African Americans you see nowadays, they're quote unquote living in a ghetto, living on Section 8, having to get welfare, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like just from his background and his culture that he's dealt with, mm-hmm. Eminem could be considered African American in general just from like his background. So, I mean, I feel like it's okay.
Okay. But then wouldn't you have to like have that, you know, same respect or same, I guess, acknowledgement for people who use that word who have the same background or have gone through something similar to that? Because that was another thing that came up in my discussion.
Yeah, if somebody's been through the same situation, or I can associate myself with, that's like has the same understanding that, you know, this is not a negative thing that I'm calling you, then I feel like it can be used.
So what if someone like Tiger Woods, who was raised predominantly white, wanted to use the word, it wouldn't be the same?
No, it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't have the same. I think, and I know it's just me probably being biased or whatever. Mm-hmm. I would be okay him saying it because he is, I mean, he does have the skin tone of African American, mm-hmm. but he doesn't understand any struggles that people are going through, that people, African American people, have been going through and are going through in this time and age.
Okay, and then I have another question, because I'm full of questions today.
So is this your show or my show?
And you spoke about, or you said the word ghetto, and I know that people use it out of context all the time. And I actually heard or like read briefly an article about Raven Simone, how she would say that she, or she said that she wouldn't hire anyone who had a ghetto name. So can you define ghetto for me? Because I really, I don't know if I know the correct meaning.
I don't
of it.
Know the correct term for
or
ghetto,
your, but what it means
ghetto to me. I couldn't tell you. When people hear the word ghetto, what I feel is when people hear the word ghetto, I automatically think Black people.
Okay.
When they hear the word ratchet, you automatically think Black people, because I think African Americans made those terms, made the term ratchet. I mean, you know, I think African Americans made the term ratchet, but in a sense, ghetto, I think that's more, I don't know, I don't want to say African Americans, but as a majority and whole, like Caucasians, Blacks, all races made that a word to use for things that are not as clean, I guess, clean or very upscaled. Because, you know, when you see, when you go to ghettos, you see rundown houses, you see trap houses, you see
the projects, things,
dogs
like that,
starving, walking around the streets and things. You see shoestrings, shoes tied up on top of wires and stuff, thrown on top of wires and stuff of that nature. And I mean, that may be just me watching movies and seeing that off of movies, but I've never been to a ghetto that's had all those things, but I've been to ghettos that have most of those things.
Yeah, so I was reading and I was, it just, it surprised me just because, you know, she is African American descent too, and I think she is bit mixed, I couldn't be wrong, but yeah, she was saying, you know, what about Watermelon Andrea? And it's like, how many Watermelon Andreas do you really know? And I just feel like she's being a little racist towards her own race. And I mean, I do think that that happens. You know, there was that woman who pretended to be Black so she could, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Yeah. But yeah, that was just a question that I had, and it came, kind of went with the subject.
And I think River Simone was, that was, she made a public apology about it, but I kind of think it was kind of taken out of context. But like I said, I talked about Martin Luther King, that people shouldn't be judged based on the color of skin or their name in general, or their sexual orientation, et cetera, et cetera. I just feel as if they should be judged on the context of the character, their experiences that they've had in life or job experiences, et cetera. But we're going to head into a really quick break. Then real words of the day will be shared. You have listened to Penguin Radio here on the radio.dominican.edu. So stay tuned.
Let's rage.
Welcome back. This is your weekly Bosco break and your update of Dominican soccer. The Dominican University of California women's soccer team remained near the top of the PacWest standings with a 2-1 road victory at Notre Dame de Namur on Saturday. Both teams attempted 3 shots in the first half. NDNU capitalized first with a goal in the 51st minute, but the Penguins evened the match in the 76th. Sophomore Mariah Meza connected with senior Stephanie Owens, where she crossed the ball into the center, and Owens fought off a defender and nailed the shot to the back post for her first goal of the season. An Argonauts foul in the 81st minute set a penalty shot, and junior Stephanie Pollock was selected to take the kick. The Dominican defender scored the game winner. These Lady Penguins have 12 points and are currently tied for 3rd place in the PacWest Conference with Point Loma. Unfortunately, the men's soccer team did not have as good of luck. Junior Alex Herrera scored twice, but it wasn't enough in an eventual 4-2 loss at Notre Dame de Namur on Saturday in the PacWest play. The Penguins were haunted by another early goal scored by the Argonauts in the 3rd minute for an early 1-0 NDNU lead. Dominican rebounded quickly thanks to Herrera. Freshman Micah Allo played a low cross from the right side and Herrera scored into the top right of the net. In the 13th minute, senior Corey Vanderpool, in his return since missing the last 9 matches with an ankle injury, headed a ball off a long throw that Herrera volleyed in. That lead wasn't to last though, as NDNU struck for 3 second half goals. Although the Penguins have dropped this match, they will now head to Hawaii to face all 4 Hawaii teams in the PacWest Conference, accompanied by the women's team. The week-long trip will begin on the Big Island at UH Hilo on Saturday, October 17th, and will end the trip on Saturday, October 24th at Chaminade. This is certain to be a rivalry match for our men, as Dominican's head coach, Zach Kingsley, led the Silver Swords last season before coming to Dominican at the beginning of the 2015 season. That's the end of your Bosco break. Thanks for tuning in.
She's a beast. I call her karma.
We are back on radio.dominican.edu, and over our break, DJ Honey brought up a topic that she wanted to share since she's taken over my show so far. So go ahead.
No, I was just asking, or I wanted to ask DJ Unspoken her take on interracial relationships. So
I think they're great. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I mean, I did talk to somebody for one of my senior projects coming out, and she told me that her dad was kind of a racist in a sense that he didn't want her to date an African-American guy. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, it happens. But I feel like interrelationships, if you love somebody and you don't see color, go for it. I know I don't. If I have good vibes with you and our personalities can mesh, then that's great. You?
I don't discriminate. It's, you know, I love who I love. And whether it be, you know, whether you be yellow, rainbow, orange, green, blue, black, whatever you want to be. As long, like you said, as long as you get along with the person, as long as they love you and you love them. It's awesome.
Well, thank you for that, DJ Honey, for sharing that with us. I guess it's the DJ Honey show, keeping it sweet or whatever. So we're words of the day. And it goes like this. You make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. And I feel like those are great words. And I feel like it's a saying, don't be selfish and give as much as you get. Be the light and positivity in someone's life. You never know what someone's going through. And I always remember, kind is a new cute, or handsome for men. Your take on the quote?
I actually have that quote on my phone, and I try to live by it. It is difficult sometimes. You know, there's times when you just want to get, and you don't necessarily have the means to give. But it's true, you know, the more that you give, the more satisfaction you feel in yourself, and I feel the more happy you can turn out to be in the end. And it's always nice to know that you're helping either someone, something out in the long run. So it'll benefit you eventually.
Yeah, fully feel you on that. It's about that time. So I'm going to give you a quick recap of today's show. I talked about Black Lives Matter, just the movement in general, how it started, and me being part of that organization. I feel like it's becoming such a positive thing. Also, I talked about racism as a whole and just shared a little bit about everything that's going on. I still feel like America is still living in the past from slavery, et cetera, et cetera. And also Donald Trump, which him running for president, I feel like it's just a joke to me. I feel like it's a public publicity thing. Your take on Donald Trump for president?
Donald Trump for president, not my first choice, yeah. But he's a contender according to everything that I've been reading. So hopefully everyone chooses the right one.
True. If you like Trump, vote for him. I'm not discriminating, but me personally, he's just not one of my, he's not my cup of tea. I thank you all for tuning in. I'm DJ Unspoken, and I thank my guest DJ Honey for coming in and saving me a little bit. You have been listening to Keeping It Real, Talking It Feel here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Meet me here again next week. Stay real, y'all.
This is Keeping It Real, Talking It Feel with DJ Unspoken, Fridays 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stay real, y'all.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.
can fly out in the sun. You know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun. You know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done. That's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. You shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.